Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the canons of Dort 1618, 1619 is not equal to the Bible, but it is a faithful summary of five major doctrines in the Bible: unconditional election, limited or definite atonement, total depravity or total inability, irresistible grace, and the perseverance or the preservation of the saints. You can remember them by the acronym ULTIP or the more common TULIP. Now, because Jacob Arminius in the late 1500s was teaching some serious errors regarding the doctrine of salvation, the canons of Dort were specifically written to correct those false teachings. Unfortunately, Arminianism, with its errors concerning this salvation, continues today. And in fact, there's a kind of a revival in the last maybe 150 years or so. And so we must address them. And the last time you saw that election was based on God's love, and election was worked through God's word. In other words, a loving God, because God loved man and chose man to give this gospel to him, those men then are able to believe and be saved. God's love was seen in God's word, and then man is saved. Today we will pick up and see how man responds when he hears the word of God preached to him. Our headings are two, quite simple. The elect respond to the gospel he hears. And then second, the elect respond by mixing the gospel he hears with faith. Let's read then Article 4 of Canons of Dort, Head of Doctrine 1. Together, a twofold response to the gospel. God's wrath remains on those who do not believe this gospel, but those who do accept it and embrace Jesus the Savior with a true and living faith are delivered through him from God's wrath and from destruction and receive the gift of eternal life. The elect respond to the gospel he hears. Now, God planned or ordained, a proper word, for you, the elect, to get the gospel before the world was even formed. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Together, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." What planning! What love! This was not like when you forgot your child's birthday and then you're grabbing something by the store in the corner or the drugstore on the way home. I mean, how many people spend time thinking all year about Mother's Day, which is supposed to be coming up soon? Suddenly it's there and you have to deal with it. You love your mother, but you don't spend all that time planning. Look at what God did. Look at the depths of his love that he was planning before the world was made for your salvation and how he would send the gospel to you. In fact, the Apostle Paul reiterated that everything was in place before you were even born. Ephesians, which is also addressed to Timothy because Timothy was a pastor, look at he said this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and following. Together, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He wanted this. He chose you before the world began, and He sent the gospel. He was making that preparation before the world began. In fact, in God's mind, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world for you. That's planning. That's love. And then, at the appointed time, in the course of history, you heard the gospel. Some when you're young, some when you're older. Some heard it 2,000 years ago, some heard it 500 years ago. You've heard it now. But it comes. Romans 10:17, together. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the way in which the elect are saved. The gospel goes to them. That's how election is worked out. Look again at Romans chapter 9, verse 11, together. For the children, not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him who calls. And he was speaking there of Esau and Jacob, that God loved Jacob, and God hated Esau. Before they were born. Everyone, of course, deserves to be hated, but God was gracious, and He loved Jacob. And you notice what this means then is that election was not, you were not zapped with election from heaven. You don't magically become saved. You hear the word of God. That's how you are saved. You hear the word of God. What does this mean then? If you want those around you who believe to believe, you have to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to make the effort to tell them. This is the only way for this to happen. And this is what God commanded. There is no other way. Just like someone came to you, maybe give you a Bible and talked about Jesus, that's what you need to do for others. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 14 now, together. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without someone telling them about Jesus? They're not zapped. The elect hear the gospel and they respond. And the Lord showed the Apostle Paul in a vision, and he moved. Look at the passage there again in your notes. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. Together. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel then. Now, if I ask you, have you had a vision lately to tell you to go to Macedonia? No, those were for special times. So how would you know what to do? How would you know where you should preach the gospel or send the gospel? Well, you have to look for opportunities. You have to listen for opportunities. You have to do some research. You have to read history, ask questions, see where men need the gospel. And by the way, it might be the person next to you at work. It might be a neighbor. It might be someone you meet on the bus or an airplane. Wherever you may be, someone at the supermarket. You have to look for those opportunities and speak. You also have social media. Use social media. Use the internet. Give someone a Bible. Invite someone to church. When was the last time you did that? Maybe ask you young people this, wherever you are. Most of you are very adept at using social media. And it can be a useful tool, no doubt. When was the last time you talked about something spiritual? When was the last time you challenged one of your acquaintance with his belief? Maybe you see someone taking God's name in vain, something popular among young people today. Or maybe you see them living a life or talking about some wickedness, adultery, and have you challenged them on what was right and good? You know if they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. You love them enough to use some of that time on Instagram or WhatsApp or Facebook or whatever else you use to advocate for something that is good. That's the only way the elect will be saved. You don't know who the elect are. No one does. And it's your responsibility to use your time. If you love those people, if you love God, if you're thankful for your salvation, you will tell others. But what if you're not able to go to some faraway place? If you're not able to go, send others. Send them with your prayers. Send them with your support. And when people hear support, they immediately think, oh no, money again. Well, that's part of it, of course. What we're talking about is your encouragement, with your prayers, with your email. Maybe take some of that time off of Instagram and Twitter and send a word of encouragement to a pastor or a missionary or someone who works overseas, someone you meet online who's preaching gospel in some faraway place. Encourage them. They need to be encouraged as well. Look at an example of this. This happened in Antioch, and that's right along the coast, which was really the launching point for many missionary journeys. Let's read from Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3 together. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So you can't go maybe some places. Not many people can go to South Sudan. It's a very dangerous place to go. Or maybe a single man can go and preach the gospel there. And you can be the one supporting him, encouraging, praying for him. So don't ever make an excuse that you can't go. The elect need the word. And if others are willing and if they're qualified, send them. Maybe a local pastor in a foreign country, you can support them so that they can preach the gospel. You know how little it costs to support maybe a pastor in a foreign country? Often $100 a month can take care of that pastor. Most people can afford that. Waste that enough on Starbucks coffee. Well, maybe some people think that's not wasting, but how little it would cost. $1,200 a year, you can support a man and his family doing the work of the Lord. So maybe you can't go, but you surely can send. Now, the first thing then is we've got to hear the word of God. That's how the elect people come to know Jesus Christ. We said it was work through the word, but it's work through preaching and sending people to preach. Then we come to that second point. When that word is received, the elect then respond by mixing it with faith. That's Article 5, and we will read that now together. Let's begin. The sources of unbelief and of faith, the cause or blame for this unbelief, as well as for all other sins, is not at all in God, but in humanity. Faith in Jesus Christ, however, and salvation through him is a free gift of God, as the scripture says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Likewise, for God has graciously granted you the privilege of believing in Christ." So after you hear the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and believed it, you then mix that word with faith. Faith, which is the gift of God. You know, water by itself is good. Cement mixed by itself is good. But by themselves, they're not strong. The real effect comes when you take the water and you mix it with that cement mix. That's when it becomes hard. That's when you can build on that. And the same thing is true with the Word. You've got the Word, you've got faith, you've got to mix them together. And that's when real good comes. That's when salvation comes. Remember, faith is the hand and mouth of the soul. And when you receive that Word by faith and you digest it and becomes part of you, that's when you have eternal life. That's when you hold on to Jesus. You hold on to His life of obedience. You hold on to His sacrificial death at the end of His life. You want to see a good picture of this holding? Look at the life of Father Jacob. Remember what a rascal he was. But then the Lord worked in him and saved him. And look at the battle recounted for us in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 26. Let's read together. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Here was Jacob fighting with Jesus. This was really a pre-incarnate form of the Lord Jesus. He is called God. And Jacob is fighting with him. And the Lord needed to humble him, break him. So he touched his hip and the socket came out. The joint ball came out of the socket. And then he couldn't fight anymore. What was the response? Then he moved to, instead of wrestling, the Bible uses the word clinging. He just held on. He wasn't fighting anymore. He was dependent now upon the Lord. And what was his response? Not, "I can beat you." He's saying, "You gotta bless me." What a difference. The arrogance had gone. And he held on. That's what happens when the Word of God that is preached to the elect is mixed with faith. You then hold on to Jesus. You don't try anymore by your life thinking, "I can take care of myself. I've got money. I've got vaccines. We will be safe as long as we have vaccines." Now, there's nothing wrong if people want to use vaccines. But that's not going to take care of your soul. You need the Word of God and you need faith, and mix them together. Now let's look at how some people respond to the teaching of the Bible that is clear. You need the Word, you need faith, you mix them together, in you, you're saved, you're secured, you're able to hold on to Jesus. But there are some people who will not listen to the Word of God. They hate God. And they will not mix what they hear with faith. They do not want His Word and they do not want His faith. And it's not God's fault that they reject His Word and refuse His gift. And these are the ones who are bound for hell. There are others who say that they have not been saved because they're not of the elect. "I'm not of the elect, that's why I'm not saved, and that's why I can live however I want." Well, that is absolutely incorrect. Some people are not saved because they reject God. They hate God and everything He stands for. That is man in his natural state, enmity with God. They inherited the rebellion from their parents, and they continue in that rebellion. And that is the only ground for their condemnation. They may not say, "Well, I'm not elect." You know, it's like somebody, let's say your phone rings and you don't answer it. And the doctor was calling to give you a message, needs to see you. And then it's like saying, "Well, I didn't get the message." "Well, it's because you didn't pick up the phone." You don't blame the fact that the message wasn't there. It's the fact that you didn't pick up the phone. You only have yourself to be blamed. It's not because you're not elect. It's because you refuse the salvation that God offers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and following. Interesting passage together. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? In other words, where you are going, you are speaking of Jesus Christ. Some will accept it and be saved. Some will reject it and die. But let the aroma, of course, come from you. You see how important that is, that your life and your words speak of Jesus Christ. But there are other people who say, I've really been seeking the Lord, but he doesn't want me to find him. This is not true either. Man does not want to seek God. Remember Romans chapter 3. We've all turned aside into our own ways. There's none that seeks God. None. They've all turned aside to their own ways. Look at what Jesus said about this in John chapter 5, verse 39. Together, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. The Jews were reading the Bible, but they weren't interested in salvation. They weren't interested in salvation. That's why when Jesus looked over Jerusalem, he cried. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to gather you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. You were not willing." It's not that the Lord doesn't want them to find him. It's that they really don't want God. Look at the promise that God gave in Deuteronomy to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Together, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." You notice that? If you are truly seeking him, you will find him. Remember, God has no pleasure in the death of the sinner. He has no pleasure in the condemnation of one to hell. And then there are others who say, "Look, I prayed, I've gone to church, I read my Bible, but I'm not a Christian. Only God can make someone a Christian." Usually, when people say that, it's a lie. They don't really want to surrender. What they really should say is not, "I've gone to church and I prayed and I read my Bible." What they need to say is, "Lord, I am guilty and you're pure. I am stubborn. I want my own way, but you are gracious. Lord, make me clean and help me to submit to your will." Instead of saying, "Lord, I'm submitting to your will," you're not doing your part, which is always a lie. Say, "Help me to submit to your will." That's the difference. It's a huge difference from going with that arrogance and thinking you can negotiate with God and tell him, "Look, I did my part, you do your part." No. Go and completely surrender. "I am guilty. I am stubborn. I am unclean." John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "Together, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The fault is with man. The wrath of God is not on those who are not elect I know that's a double negative, can be confusing. The wrath of God is not on someone because they're not elect. The wrath of God is on those who do not believe. That's the basis of condemnation. Those who refuse to believe. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Those who do not believe, God's wrath is on them. And then some argue that God is too nice and sweet to reject anyone and send them to hell. In other words, God will save the whole world. And of course, they misuse the word of God and say, for God so loved the world, that means God loves everyone. Remember, that doesn't say that God loves every single one. We saw last week, 5 times in the Bible, God says there are some people he hates. And he hates with a passion. When the Bible said God so loved the world, it means he loves all kinds of people, all kinds of races, all kinds of nationality, young and old, rich or poor, slave or free. He loves all kinds of people. And there are some, though, that God hates. And this is why it's terrible when someone dies and you hear someone say, ah, he's at peace now. He is with God now. And they assume that God has chosen and loves every single person and eventually everyone will go to heaven. Now, some people come up with a hybrid. Muslims and Roman Catholics develop something called purgatory, where you will go and you will have some kind of fire and some kind of punishment, but eventually you will be purged. That's where purgatory comes from. And then you will go to heaven. The sense of the eternal fires of hell is missing from their beliefs. But God is just and cannot allow those who don't believe, those who don't have Christ as their covenant keeper, he can't accept them and save them. The truth is this, if you don't have someone to die for you, then you will have to die for yourself. And then finally, some indirectly condemned God for being unfair because he did not give faith to some. Remember, faith must be mixed with the word of God for the one who is the elect to be saved. But if God were fair to everyone, then everyone would go to hell. He's fair to all who are condemned. They get exactly what they deserve, nothing more. He's not being cruel to them. He's being just. Everyone who goes to hell goes there justly. Look at Romans 1:28. Together. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. They did not retain God in their knowledge. They moved God out. They didn't want to follow God. They didn't want his law. They didn't want his word. They didn't want his salvation. And God just simply left them. But God is gracious to all whom he elected. Being gracious doesn't mean he is unfair. And that's where people run into trouble who disagree with the teachings of the Bible or Arminian friends. They think because God doesn't save some people that somehow God is unfair. He only elected some. But everyone who goes to hell, that's fair. That's perfect. Justice. What they're really saying is that grace is unfair. The fact that God saves some, oh, God shouldn't save them. He should save everyone or none at all. No. God's grace must never be called injustice. Romans 9:18 says, together, therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. So if someone does not respond in faith, it is because of his own sin. He can blame no other for that. Let's conclude. God sends his word the gospel of Jesus Christ, so the elect can hear of God's holiness, of man's sins, and of the work of the Savior for him. The sinner then combines the gospel he heard with the faith that he has been given so he can hold on to God's promises. That is salvation. That is salvation. So now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, stop and wonder at the greatness of your election. How unworthy you were. And when you do, you will serve God better. You will praise Him better. You'll be more consistent in how you live your life, knowing that God could justly, fairly have sent you to hell. But He chose you. When? Before the world began. When did Jesus die? Before the world began. When was the gospel? Before the world began, He was thinking about you. That's how special you are. You know, your husband might forget your birthday or anniversary. Your children might too. Not God. The apple of His eye you are. That's how much He loves you. He has eyes upon you always. That's why He chose you. That's why He sent the gospel. That's why He gave you faith. And now you are His. Serve Him better. Second, those who reject God's election as the foundation for salvation, they're robbing God of His rightful praise. Don't be a thief of God, from God. Don't steal His praise. Third, proclaim and support the proclamation of the gospel so the elect might hear and believe. If you can't take the gospel, send it. And four, see how this continues to be applicable in your life. The more you mix faith with your knowledge of the gospel, the more you will make your calling and election sure. You know, some people are not always sure. Sometimes you have doubts. Am I really a Christian? Do I really believe? Well, just as when you became a Christian, you mixed that word with faith. So the more you mix that word with faith, the stronger your conviction, the stronger your assurance will be that you belong to Jesus Christ. That's why you read the word. That's why you mix it with faith. Finally, if you are not a Christian, it's not for you to wonder whether you are the elect or not. Instead, you are called to come to God for your spiritual needs. He promises that He will turn none away, but will save all who come. He assures you that He will work in your heart and will give you that assurance that you are saved. But along with that comes a stern warning as well to those who will not come. His love is great, but His judgment is fierce. Let us pray. Thank You, Father, for Your words. Thank You for the reminder of the wonder of our election, how You sent Your word, how You gave us faith, and how that was mixed in our hearts to give us eternal life. Let us be ready to share that word with others too, that they too will be able to mix it with faith and be brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We know, Father, we don't know who the elect are, but we know how they are saved, and we want to play our part as You have called us to share the message of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.